Well, it's great to be continuing in our series on the church gathering together around Jesus. This year, our focus as a church is connecting with Christ. And that's really about warmly welcoming visitors into our church community, but also being a church community that's connected with one another and caring and supporting each other and doing life together. Now, to do that, we really need to hear what God's got to say about the church. What does it mean? What does it look like to gather together around Jesus? And God has wonderfully given us these five images that we're working our way through. So far, we've looked at the radiant bride. Jesus loves his church. Even though we've got our wrinkles and stains and blemishes, he's working in us by the Spirit to get us ready. We've also seen that we are the body of Christ, and just like our body, every single member or part is essential for the body and building the body. And then last week we looked at the temple. The temple is about meeting with God, having that experiencing of God's presence. And wonderfully, incredibly, that's as we meet together, we are able to experience the very presence of God. Well, today we are looking at the flock. So let's pray that we'd hear God speak. Heavenly Father and our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, we ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, mind and soul today so that we can see the glory of gathering together around Jesus as the church. And we also want to pray that you'd help us to trust Jesus as our shepherd, to provide for us and to protect us, his flock, through his shepherds. Amen. We're going to have a look at this photo of... Today is about the shepherd and the sheep. But I want to show you this photo of this ram. He's a merino ram. And he's not in a great way. This is about 2001, I think. He was discovered having been in the wild after about 5 years. So it's 5 years worth of a coat. He really can't see. He can barely walk under the weight of a wool coat that's about 35 kilograms. Can you imagine walking around with 35 kilograms on you? And you can see in the top left what he looked like after he was shown. There really isn't a whole lot to him. Well, that's the thing about sheep. And he lives up to the reputation, not just that we know of, but also including in the Bible, sheep have the reputation of not being very bright or being very brave. In fact, their reputation really is to be very needy. They need help for their provision, their food and their water and where to go. And they need protection. Sheep really aren't quite a very offensive animal, are they? In terms of they don't have really violent claws. They're pretty defenseless and helpless in a lot of ways. And one of the worst things that sheep do is they just keep wandering off. Well, as far as the Bible's concerned, you and I, we're sheep. And while we may not appreciate the comparison, we may not like it very much, that's because of our pride and our independence. We don't like the idea that we can't just wander off and do our thing. We must stay with a shepherd. But that's the truth that the Bible wants us to hear, and it's the truth that we need to hear today. We need to hear that the good shepherd provides and protects his flock through his shepherds. Now, the thing about the flock image out of the five is it is different to the others because the emphasis isn't so much on something that we do, but really on our response. It's on our response to Christ as our shepherd and to the leaders of ministries and churches, his shepherds. So this comes about because the Bible makes it super clear that sheep need a shepherd. Sheep absolutely need a shepherd. If you were walking around in Jesus' day, let alone through Old Testament times, it was very common to have a shepherd and his flock of sheep just wandering around, maybe on the pastures, maybe up on the hills, especially after a harvest time. Shepherds would come in and they'd be clearing things out. And that's why it's a very common image throughout the whole Bible, this idea of shepherd and sheep. And we heard that in Psalm 100, put so well in verse 3 there. Know that the Lord is God, right? That's the key thing. God, Lord is God. But then it builds on that idea. It is He who made us and we are His. He is our Creator. But then it goes on to say, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. It's not just God out there and made a world. No, no, we belong to Him, just like sheep do to the shepherd. We need Him. You see, through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, God is portrayed as the shepherd, especially in the Old Testament of Israel. And it was a way of just really clearly, simply saying, God is the leader. He is the boss. He is the one that is absolutely essential for the nation and for the people to be provided for and to have protection. And Psalm 23, which I'm going to guess is familiar to many of us through funerals and other things, it lays out these two points really clearly. God is provider and protector. Firstly, the provider. It begins in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He's covering all the bases, isn't he? This is how God provides. But the verse finishes with, He refreshes my soul. Not just feeds my stomach, but He refreshes my soul. God is the one who provides not only our material needs, but those essential spiritual needs of our very soul. But not only is a provider, He's also the protector. Further down, verse very familiar. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, but we might be more familiar with through the valley of the shadow of death, which I think sounds so much better. Notice what He says next. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Even in the face of the darkest valley or even death, those who have God as shepherd don't need to fear. Why? Because Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, that's a really interesting thing because the rod, I think we're all in favor of the rod. That's the weapon used to protect the sheep. That's where he fights off the lions and the bears and the robbers. But the staff, the staff is for the sheep. It's this long pole with a hook on it that will very easily go around the neck of a sheep to jerk it back in the line because it keeps wandering off, right? But notice that the psalmist can actually say, the rod and the staff are my comfort. It's when we come to understand that actually we need God as our provider and we need Him as our protector in that form that we find our comfort. Which is what Jesus does as the good shepherd. The good shepherd. And we heard about that in John 10. Fantastic passage. One of the things to note is that Jesus here is responding to bad shepherds. Bad shepherds in His day. And it's very easy to see that He's kind of picking up, if you like, what God was saying to Israel back in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel was a prophet speaking to the people and God is there saying, you guys aren't shepherds, you're more like butchers. And so I'm going to raise up my shepherd. I'm going to be the shepherd of my people. And Jesus comes along and says, actually, I'm it. I am the good shepherd. There's a lot going on here, but I just want to raise two points for us that help us to understand how we as sheep need to respond to Jesus as our good shepherd. Firstly, sheep must listen to the shepherd's voice. At least six times in this passage, the idea of voice, listening, responding come up. It's a huge emphasis because this is how Jesus provides. As He directs with what He says, He is taking the sheep to be able to lack nothing, to lie down and to lead them to water. And so we need to listen to His voice. Verse 3, He says, the sheep listen to my voice. He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. Jesus is just talking about the idea of a shepherd. He's going to pick Himself up saying, I am that. But here He's saying, my sheep will listen. That's how we know if we're Jesus' sheep. We're listening to Him. But the wonderful thing is this is not, it's not impersonal. It's very personal. He knows His sheep's name. Now that's really different picture to Australian farms with thousands of sheep getting herded by a trail bike or something. Now this is a shepherd or a few shepherds with a small flock, and they call them by name. They know them. It's a personal relationship, Jesus is saying. Verse 4, his sheep follow him because they know his voice. There's two things going on there. Firstly, so important to know that listening means following. It's not, oh, that's a really nice opinion, Jesus. Let me consider that. Now, if he's a shepherd, they know that voice and they follow it. They do it because they know his voice. There's a sense they know they can trust him. It's not just, oh, that's familiar. They've seen consistently he's led us to water, he's led us to feed, he's avoided the dangers. But you got to know that voice, to know what he's saying, to hear his direction, and to trust it. Because otherwise, well, he says, verse 5, they will run away from him, the stranger, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So we know if we're Jesus' sheep because we're not listening to other voices, and there are so many out there. We need to ask, who am I listening to? Finally, Jesus kind of wraps it up together, and by this stage at verse 16, he's really saying, I am this shepherd, all right? And he says, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. He's talking there, he's saying, well, previously, in a sense, the idea was the Jews were part of this sheep pen, the Israelites, but I'm going to bring the Gentiles, the nations. I'm going to do that. This is for everybody. I love the fact that Jesus is kind of talking at this point with a view to 2,000 years ahead, calling you and I by name, bringing us into this sheep pen. He says, they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Wonderful picture of unity in Christ. This week with Ramadan, many of us have begun praying the 30 days of prayer, praying for Muslims in various different places around the world. Wonderful thing to do. And I was really struck by the idea as I was praying that his sheep will know his voice. Doesn't matter how difficult that country is, how far away, how limited access. Jesus is saying, they're going to hear my voice. Might be in a vision, might be online, might be through a neighbour. But they're going to hear it. And they're going to be drawn in to this one flock. How amazing is that? It was such a boost to our prayers for this week. But it's not just out there. This is an ongoing shepherding Jesus is talking about here, where we as his sheep must keep listening to his voice. That's how he provides. And like I said, it's not just a matter of listening. It's trusting him with our lives, with every part of our lives. And so what Jesus is talking about here is he's talking about obeying his words. Not just, oh, it's nice to be picked up and saved and brought in, but then following in everyday life. It's why, as a church, we keep encouraging one another to know Christ, not just as we gather on Sundays, but listening to Jesus' voice during the week, so we know it, so we trust it, so we follow it, obeying our shepherd, because that's how Jesus will provide. Well, we know we can trust him to do that, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's what he's done. That's how we know he'll provide, because he is such a great protector. He protects us from death, from the devil, and from our own sinful nature. Remember, the staff and the rod together. And we know that he's done that because he's willingly laid down his life on that cross for us. And he says he took it back up again. He has that authority. So he's willing, he was willing to do it. And he continues to be able to be our protector because he's risen from the dead. And that's such a good thing as we walk through dark valleys, isn't it? Because you and I are going to walk through dark valleys, even the shadow of death. But we're never alone our shepherd is there to protect us. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen. That's where we end up in the dark valley. But it means we're never alone, and we will always get through because of our shepherd when we listen to his voice. Because he is bringing us into the flock. It's really easy for us to hear Jesus talk about being the shepherd and just really kind of think of ourselves. Partly it's because we live in a very individualistic culture. But also, if you've been a Christian for a while and been at church, one of the stories that we love is the story of the lost sheep. You know, the foolish sheep that wanders away. And Jesus says, you know what? The shepherd will leave the sheep and go searching. And man, what the shepherd must go through to get to that one sheep, chuck it over his shoulders and bring it back. And we kind of think, yes, Jesus loves me and he saved me and that's true. But where does he bring the sheep back to? The flock. Jesus doesn't have a one-to-one kind of thing with every single, but otherwise he would have said, I'll be the master and you can be the dog and we'll have this best friend kind of master relationship. He certainly wouldn't have said chosen a cat because they think they're the boss, but he has chosen a sheep for a specific reason because they live in a flock. And so when Jesus says, I'm laying down my life, he's saying, I've died to gather a people. To be gathered together around me with him as our shepherd. It's why it's so important for our protection that we gather with the flock around the shepherd, the good shepherd. And so this brings us to a time when I'll talk about leadership or shepherding, because it's so important that anybody who is a shepherd follows Jesus' example when shepherding the flock. There was a children's minister doing a kid's spot in church one Sunday morning. It was on Psalm 23, and he'd talk to the kids about, you know, sheep, they're a little bit foolish, they wander off, they need all this help, and the shepherd, he stays close to the sheep and guards and protects them. And so he says to the kids, now, you are the sheep. God wants them to really get it. And so he says, okay, if you're the sheep, then who is the shepherd? Make it really obvious that it's pointing to him. And there's this really long silence. Finally, one of the kids kind of pokes up and says, Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. Now, the kids' minister at this point in time is somewhat surprised by the answer, and as well as his pride that's blinded him at this point. And so he's scrambling madly and he says, well, okay then, if Jesus is the shepherd, what am I? And the kid quickly fires back, well, I guess you're the sheepdog. When we come to think about shepherding, it's really important that we understand our place as shepherds, if we are a shepherd. That we are actually under shepherds, if you like. Because the Bible calls Jesus not just the good shepherd, but the chief shepherd. He is the one who ultimately rules his flock. And he is the one who then appoints shepherds. So humility, like Jesus, is such an essential part of leadership. This is exactly what we see in the book of Acts. In chapter 20, Paul, he's actually headed to his death. And on the way, on the journey, he knows this from God, he wants to meet one last time with the elders of the Ephesian church. He knows it well. He wants to have a final meeting. And so they travel overland. He gets to the port. And this is his final words to them. And in Acts 20, verse 28, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. So he's saying, you're shepherds. The flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I think there's a couple of interesting things just in that sentence alone. Because he's saying it's as if each church is like its own flock and can actually have multiple shepherds. That's a really good thing to know. But the other and really significant thing is that shepherds are appointed by the Holy Spirit. We might have various means within your denomination and other such things, but ultimately, the shepherd is appointed by God through the Holy Spirit. And so they are to keep watch. That's what Paul's saying. I'm going. You've got to keep watch. There's a real urgency here. And so he continues, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. You've got to treat it carefully because it's so precious. It was bought with the very blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious, but also there are dangers. He says in verse 29, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and will not spare the flock. It's kind of where we get the idea of wolves in sheep's clothing from. Because he's going to go on to talk about these wolves. What are they going to do to devour? To bite at the flock? They're going to distort the truth. They're going to change the voice of Jesus. That's so dangerous, he's saying. Be aware of the danger, and some of it will come from within the church. And so shepherds must keep watch because the church is precious and because there is very real danger. And sheep don't always know it. So, we've got to be aware of the danger, right? There was a tour group happening in the Holy Land a few years ago, and the guide, who was a native to the area, was talking about, you know, the shepherds on the hills with the sheep, and he was explaining that the shepherd always leads the sheep, and the sheep follow behind. That's the way. That's not only the tradition, but it's the best way to be a shepherd, and even pointing to the way that that happens in the Bible. Well, it wasn't long after the guide had finished going into this lengthy explanation that the group walked. The group started to laugh because they walked past a group of sheep with a man behind them beating them along with a stick. And so they thought this was quite funny after the guide. And so one kind of smug member of the group says, oh, I thought you said that shepherds always lead the sheep. And the guide answered, well, that's because he's not a shepherd, he's a butcher. Sheep must be careful. There are butchers out there. And one of the things that we need to know about ourselves as sheep is we don't really want to follow. We don't want to be told where to go. And if we're not careful, we'll be very happy with the guy who stands behind. Yeah, you just stay back there. Be where you're told. Well, not realizing that they're the butcher. We need to be careful who we're listening to and who we are letting lead and how we're letting them lead. We are wonderfully blessed in our world with access through the internet to, man, YouTube sermons like you wouldn't believe, podcasts and all that kind of stuff. We need to be careful, don't we? Because let's face it, you can't really know. You don't get to see that person's life, do you? You don't get to see how they interact with other people. Just see them on a screen. And so as you're listening, you need to be thinking through, am I hearing Jesus' voice here? All right, leaders must shepherd the flock like Jesus because it's his flock. It's God's flock, really. That's what Paul told to the Ephesians, but also Peter picks that up. In 1 Peter 5, a passage that's up on the screen now, it's a really helpful passage for us to be thinking about shepherding. He says, Peter does, in chapter 5, verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. So who are these shepherds? I mean, that's an important thing for you to know what to listen to here, right? Well, yes, it's people appointed in various ministry staff roles, but it's also growth group leaders. In their own way, people as wardens and parish councillors. It's definitely kids' church leaders and youth leaders, but also, in a certain way, parents and grandparents and many others. It's not about a formal title that can make you a shepherd. And so if you're a shepherd, then let's have a listen to what Peter says shepherds ought to be like. He says, be a shepherd of God's flock, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. It's not meant to be, oh, such work. It's a burden. No, it's meant to be something that we're willing to do because we understand it's such a privilege. God wants us to be willing. He wants us to want to partner with him. And that's why when it comes and we're not feeling like, oh, I don't really want to do this and it's such a drudgery, we don't just go, oh, I guess I'm not feeling it, I'll step out. No, we say, okay, God, you want me to want it, help me to feel like I'm willing to do this. This is something that it's a privilege for me to be able to do. Be shepherds of God's flock, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Essentially, it's about not about gain, but giving of themselves. It's not about gaining power or status. It's actually about giving again and again of our very selves, our time, our talents, and our treasure. Be shepherds of God's flock, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. I think this is such an important ending, because he's saying it's not about seeing yourself above people, but actually going ahead, being that shepherd who leads at the front, because there's danger there. There's the responsibility of picking the safe path, making sure that people are being provided for and protected. That's what the shepherd ought to do. Shepherds must be willing, giving, and going ahead. It's a privilege. And it's something that we need to be praying for all our shepherds, that they would be like that. So what does it mean for the flock? All right, as we hear a sheep, we've heard all this. What does that mean for us as we gather together around Jesus? A couple of things. Sheep must value the shepherds. They must value the shepherds who are willing, who are giving, and are always going ahead. Give thanks for them. And we can give thanks to God for so many of our shepherds here at MAC. It's very easy, and I know I'm guilty of this, to be critical. To be critical about things that really, compared to God's word and will, don't really matter that much. They're not as important as being a good shepherd following Jesus' example. It's really helpful for us to think through when we get to this point. Is this something that is a matter of right and wrong, godliness, ungodliness, or is it really just, well, it could be better or worse. It could just be my preference. Because it's so easy for us, isn't it, to suddenly take that preference and say, oh, that's a right and wrong issue. That's a God thing. When really it was just my thing. And I got pretty worked up about it. And then I started criticizing it to other people. Be thankful for the shepherds who are willing, giving, and going ahead. The second thing as the flock is that we need to gather. Remember, we're sheep. And sheep gather around the flock, gather together as a flock around Jesus the shepherd. It's so important for us to be meeting together regularly. There are real dangers out there. We need to hear Jesus' voice. Because remember, that's how he's going to lead us to provisions, not only in life for our stomach, but more importantly, for our very soul. One of the things that we can do as a flock is to look out for those who are missing. Because we can wander a little bit sometimes. And keeping an eye out for them and calling them back is a great thing to do. And as I said, giving thanks to God for the many good shepherds that we have at MAC. As we think about church as the flock, the good shepherd provides for and protects his sheep through his shepherds. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have placed over your people the Lord Jesus, our chief shepherd. Help us to listen to Jesus' voice and to follow his lead in all areas of our life, trusting him to provide what we need. And we praise Jesus for being the good shepherd. May he continue to protect his sheep. And thank you for the many faithful shepherds at MAC. Keep them being willing, giving, and going ahead. Amen. Make sure you're here next week for our final in the series. As we look at the church, we're looking at the family.